on radio, television, papers of all kinds, you hear nothing but, are you born again? And last night we asked that question and I said, gave you the short answer, no. There's no one on this earth born again today. Now, you want the scriptures to back that up. Well, that's what we're here for this morning. And turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to start out with Nicodemus and we'll see some things there and see what really took place and does that fit for us today. You know, we have the verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there's a way to rightly divide, the opposite's also true, right? We can wrongly divide. And we want to know what that is. But before we begin our study this morning, let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word this morning, we thank you for the very fact that we have the Word, that we know that we can trust it, that we can understand it in our own language, that it's yours, and you've given it by inspiration to men of time past. We thank you we can trust it, and that we can know that Jesus Christ has paid for the sin of each and every one of us if we only believe and accept what he's done for us. This morning we pray that we might learn and gain more knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the word, for we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 1. As you've heard me say many times, and I'm going to say it again, when you study God's word, look at every word and how every word ends. And we can see that you can add one letter on the end of a word and change the whole verse. And Brother Jordan brought it out last night in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It doesn't say heavens. If he created all three of them in the beginning, what did he do on the fourth day? You see, so we have the proof that we can see what God has done. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So we can understand right here now where Nicodemus fit in. He was a ruler, he was a Pharisee, but he wasn't like all the other Pharisees. There was a council when the Lord Jesus Christ was put on trial and eventually executed on the cross by the Jewish people, that a group of Pharisees was on that council, Nicodemus being one of them. He voted against what the majority of them voted for, to put Christ to death. Now, we see something in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he came at night to talk to the Lord because he was afraid he'd be seen. What we learn about Nicodemus later on in the Gospel of John gives us an understanding of why he did what he did here. Look at what he says, Rabbi. And a rabbi in the Hebrew language is a teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. You see, he says he's a teacher. And you've got to be from God, for no man can do these miracles that you've done except God's with him. How else could he do those things? He had seen this water changed into wine. He'd seen the people healed and all the things. And there's so many more miracles that the Lord had performed during his time on the earth that aren't even recorded in the scriptures. Well, notice what the Lord answers him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a red letter edition of the scriptures, that's going to be in red. But if all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Who wrote the black letters? You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. John was inspired. God didn't write this down. John did. But God inspired him to write it down. And as he did all the other of the 40 men that wrote the scriptures. So who wrote the black letters or words and so forth? It was inspired by God to be placed in his word. Well, many people say, well, since it's in red, that's what we ought to follow. If you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is no possible way that you can do all the things that the Lord said. Now, we started a study on Wednesday night, a year and a half ago, and we're still not done going through Matthew. But you can't teach Matthew without teaching Mark, Luke, and John. You got to put them all together. But there is no, by the time you get past the genealogy of Christ and his baptism by John the Baptist, you get into the first chapter after all those events, there's no possible way that you can do what he says. It can't be done. Well, then why is it that everybody says you must be born again because that's what the Lord says? Well, let's see what would happen if you were born again. Now, Nicodemus in verse 4 asked the typical question a human being would ask. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to take special note, and of the Spirit. Because that's where the distinction lies. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Turn to Luke chapter 3 and the last verse. Luke chapter 3 and the first verse. And you say, well, Luke 3, that's the lineage of Christ. And what they thought was his father's line. That's correct. And we'll see in chapter 3 of Luke, verse 38, he started with Joseph, who as was supposed the son of Joseph, in verse 23. But when we get to 38, we've gone clear back to Adam. And I want you to see something about what the scriptures say about Adam here. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the what? Son of God. Adam's referred to as the son of God. How was he the son of God? He was created, wasn't he? Now we have an interesting question. Because last night, Brother Jordan brought out, and very profitably so, in John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the actual creator. Now here we have the creator creating the heaven and the earth, and then eventually on the sixth day he creates man, and he's called the Son of God. But then that creator takes on the form of a man and is born on the earth, and he's called the Son of God. Remember what the Lord said? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's never going to change. If we go back to creation, in Genesis chapter 1, in the last two verses, we see that God did create and make man. Now, how can you create and make something? Satan's had a great heyday with this word create. When you create something, what do you start with? Nothing. When you make something, what do you start with? You got certain material. That pew that you're sitting in this morning was made, wasn't it? Somebody sawed a tree down. And these happen to be oak. And they sawed that log all up into lumber. planed it down and everything and put it together and eventually come up with a pew. It was made with something. Now today they use the word create like you created that. No, you didn't. Not according to the scriptures. The word is different. And in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we find that he created man in his own image, and then he made man in his own image. Well, how many parts of man are there? We have a body, we have a soul and a spirit. Can you see my soul and my spirit? I don't see yours either. Well, where are they? Where'd they come from? God made the body from the dust of the ground, didn't he? But where did he make the spirit and the soul? He didn't. He created them. So you see one part, but you can't see the other two. But boy, you can see the effect of them, can't you? Adam was created and made in the perfect image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was probably a good-looking man. And later on, he made Eve, and she was probably a very good-looking woman. Adam said, boy, you're the prettiest woman on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, you're the only one. But we see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 7, that God created and made man in his own image. What image did he make? Turn to Psalms 104, verses 1 and 2. What image, if he made him in the image of God, Psalms 104, verses 1 and 2, what does God look like then? What was it that Adam looked like? If he was made in the image of God, what did he look like? Psalms 104 and the first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Now note this part. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. How's God clothed? With light, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Now we could spend time on that last phrase too, but we're not even going to look at it other than read it this morning to finish the verse. If Adam was created in God's image and he's called the Son of God, how was he clothed? In light, just exactly like God was. Now don't forget that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What happened to Adam and Eve when they partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Their light went out, literally. And we have that statement today, and when somebody dies, well, his lights went out. Guess where that comes from? The scriptures. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and you're not going to change it, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, and you're not going to change that either. Adam was the Son of God when he was created, but he became a sinful creature of his own choice. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see that he chose to do what he did. Something changed when Adam sinned, when he partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 what it was that changed. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, Adam and Eve, in verse 1, we see the serpent has approached Eve, got her to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She does the same with her husband. He partakes of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I drew out up here a chart. In the beginning, God created. Then it went through day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way through and what God did each day. And on the seventh day, he rested. Well, then we started back through there to see what took place on the 9th, 10th, through the 14th day. Well, let's see what happened. And Steve has always said that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, probably on a 13th day. That'd be Friday the 13th. Well, you look at the number 13 in Scripture, and it's always dealing with rebellion. Something happened on the 13th year of such and such reign. Something happened on the 13th. It always has to do with rebellion. Well, Adam rebelled against God here. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a familiar passage, but have you really paid attention to what it says? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. That's just like me if I go out and I don't pay attention to what I'm doing with my fields. I'm not going to produce the corn that I could be able to. I'm not going to be able to produce the beans that I ought to. Why? I did not pay attention to the details. See what it says here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. Now, why was it that he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day and they heard him calling for them? You don't suppose that that was the thing that had happened in the days before? This was a normal thing. God had created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden to keep and dress the garden. He doesn't set them in there to just sit around and twiddle their thumbs and do nothing, and he doesn't want us to do that either. Now, don't forget that Adam was a son of God. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. This must have been a daily occurrence because it was in the cool of the day, it says. Now, at that time, the earth stood straight up and down on its axis. So at 6 o'clock, in any given spot on the earth, it got dark. At 6 o'clock, it got light. So about 5 o'clock, God would spend maybe an hour together with them, or however long it was. He did that on a daily basis. And this one day, he comes down there. It maybe was Friday the 13th. Adam had rebelled against God. So he hid from God. He hides from him. And that changed everything for mankind from then on. And from Genesis chapter 3 until you get to Acts chapter 9, all Scripture deals with prophecy and the kingdom when the king is going to come and set up and take over this earth. Well, what does it mean you must be born again when the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus that in John chapter 3? What happens when a person is born again? Turn once again to John chapter 3. I don't know whether I left my bookmark there or not. Nope. John chapter 3. And look at what the Lord says to Nicodemus. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice that he says he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see what's going to happen here. In verse 5, he says the same thing. Verily, verily. Notice that he says that with each time. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31, what is stated there is beginning to happen in John chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. We can see some things here. It's a new covenant. God had a covenant with the nation of Israel And he said, I'm going to make a new one. So that made the first one an old one, doesn't it? Hebrews tells us about that. But let's see what God says in Jeremiah 31:31. And there's just four verses here. And we want to see some of that. And then we want to look at some details in other places about this. You know, you go to the when God called out Israel and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Or he called out Abraham. He says, I'm going to make of you a great nation in Genesis chapter 12. And then he comes to Moses in the book of Exodus and he says, I want you to lead my nation out and we're going to make of them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What did they have to do to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? God comes down on Mount Sinai in an audible voice, has Israel around to hear what he's going to say. He gives them those things we call the Ten Commandments. That was the first covenant. If you don't do this, then you've got the rest of the book of Exodus, all of Deuteronomy, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy to fulfill all those other things. We are not under that law. And Brother Jordan brought that out last night. Jeremiah 31:31, I'll get it right in a minute. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He specifically states there's going to come a day when I make this new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Nobody else. So he has this new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. You remember how he took them across the Red Sea, parted the waters, the wind blew all night, they went across on dry ground. Pharaoh comes in after him, he's losing all of his money, he's losing his livestock and everything else. What happens to the water then? Kahoosh. It all comes back together and Pharaoh's gone and so's all his army. But Israel made it through. God says, I took you by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. He says, they broke that covenant. He says, although I was a husband unto them. This new covenant is going to be such that he's still going to be the husband, isn't he? Now, who's the bride of Christ? It's definitely not the body of Christ. It's Israel. It's Israel. It's not us. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law. What was it we saw last night? What does God put in our hearts? His grace. In their inward parts and write it in their hearts. We have his grace within us, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I didn't know what Brother Jordan was going to speak on last night until last night. He didn't either until last night. But I couldn't believe how he outlined everything for me this morning. And they shall, now get this one. They shall teach no more every man his brother and every man or his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least or the youngest of them to the greatest of them or the oldest, saith the Lord. So there it's got his approval stamped on what is written. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. What is their iniquity and their sin? What did he say back there in verse 32, this covenant's not going to be like the one that they had because they broke it. They're not going to be able to break this one. Why? Because I'm going to write it in their hearts and in their minds and I'm going to put that law in them and they can't break it. So how's he going to do that? You know, John is the only one that says you must be born again. But he also wrote three other epistles, and he wrote the Revelation too. Go to 1 John chapter 1, his first epistle. chapter 1. Now remember what God said back there under the new covenant. He says, I'm going to make this one different than the first one. The first one back here, he said, if you do this, if you obey my voice indeed, do all the commandments that I give you and obey them, then I'll do this. Now, if you don't do this, I'm going to give you a beating like you're not going to forget. They had drought. They had war. They had slavery. They were taken off into slavery because they said they would be that kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They weren't. They didn't. He gave them a chance, more than one. Now let's look in 1 John chapter 1 and the first verse. Let's see who is John writing this to. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Well, what was this from the beginning? The beginning of what? The beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says, we've seen him with our eyes. We've heard him with our ears. We've looked upon him. And our hands have handled. How many of you and I, including me, have seen the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us shook his hand? How many of you have heard him speak? Well, it's pretty obvious who he's talking to, isn't it? He says, we, which have heard. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. It was made seen unto us. It was manifested, that's where they could visibly see it, hear it, and touch it, and so on and so forth. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, because some of them didn't, most of them, as a matter of fact, a great majority of the Jews did not believe who Jesus Christ was. He says, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that you your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When we go back to John chapter 1, we see that Jesus Christ was the light, and he was the light of men. How was God clothed, as we find there in Psalms 104? With light. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. So Jesus Christ talked to Nicodemus, who came, slipped in to see him at night, and said, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The last verse in 1 John chapter 2, which is verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Well, who's the him? He's talking about God. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. And he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And you're not going to change either one of them. Well, when the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he didn't say, well, maybe you can get by without it. Or here's a way that you could do it and not be born again. He said, you must be born again, period. And that's the way it was. Turn to chapter 3, Verse 6. Now remember what God was going to do under that new covenant. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, he fulfilled the law. What was the last thing the Lord said before he gave up the ghost on the cross? It is finished. What was finished? The law. He fulfilled the law to the nth degree. Not one time did he deviate to the right nor to the left of it. He did everything the law demanded. Notice what it says in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever abideth in him, look at those next two words, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. What does born again mean? If you're born of the flesh, it's never going to change. If you're born of the Spirit, that's never going to change. God says he was going to put his Spirit within them and cause them to walk in his statutes. What's that verse say? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. If God puts his law within them and causes them to walk in his statutes, how can they sin? That's what the new birth is. That's being born again. Now, let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you how many of you are saved. Most of you here today, if not all of you, are. How many of you have never sinned since you've saved? Well, you're honest. I didn't see any hands go up. We've all sinned, haven't we? Why? Romans chapter 6 tells us you've got two natures. These people only have one. Notice what that says in 1 John 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. Look down at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That individual that's born again cannot sin. Right there it says so. You know, that's not the only place it says that. Turn over to chapter 5 and verse 1, and then we're going to look at verse 18. Verse 1 of chapter 5 in 1 John, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Did Israel believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and show me where any time the nation as a group believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. What did they do to him? The most hideous death man could figure out is how they killed the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, crucifixion. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is that true for you and me? The devil could believe that. Why is it that we have this statement, you must be born again, as the message in almost every denomination of the church that you have? What have they done? What's happened? Have we not left the truth of the Word of God in rightly dividing and seeing that there's a division there, and keep this one on this side and one on the other side? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's read the rest of it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that believeth loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. How much love do you see for the Lord Jesus Christ today? How's come this building isn't filled right now to running over? And the rest of them in town, they're not full either, are they? We got all kinds of room in a church. You have a pew each. What's happened? Look at verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Who's the wicked one there? It's the same as the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. The old serpent in Revelation chapter 20. The devil, Satan, the deceiver, the liar, the murderer from the beginning. And on and on and on the names go. And you can understand a lot about Satan just by finding these names given to him and the titles and the things he does. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Show me that person today that's been born again that lives according to that verse. It says he can't sin because he's begotten of God. He is a son of God. Is that what we're to teach today? Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. What do those people look like? In Matthew 16 and the last verse, we've got an interesting statement here. And we're going to come back to 1 John. And I hope you didn't do what I did and forget to put a bookmark in there. Matthew 16 and the last verse. The Lord's talking to the 12. He says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's in his kingdom glory. What's it going to look like? Well, 6 days later. Now, I know in Luke it says 8 days later. Well, if this is the day he says it, this is the day that's going to take place. There's 6 days in between. Matthew counts those 6 days in between. Luke counts the day he said it and the day it took place. There is no discrepancy in the scriptures. No error whatsoever. It's just how they look at it. So I want to make that very clear to you. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother. So in Luke chapter 8, it says 8 days. And he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. This is called, referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What did God look like back there in Psalms 104, verses 1 and 2? What was he clothed with? Light. What do they see him clothed with? Light. Now, go back to 1 John. And you hear this all the time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I've even heard some guys that claim to divide the scriptures rightly use this verse. John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now remember who John wrote to here, back there in those first five verses. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know what he said, and we know that we're the sons of God, but We don't look like we're what we're going to look like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How did John see him back there on the Mount of Transfiguration? As God clothed with what? Light. What's that verse say? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Those that are born again, when the king comes back down to claim this earth and reclaim it and take it over, the born again people are going to look like what? What are they going to be clothed with? The same thing the Lord Jesus Christ did. Have you seen anybody walking around on this face of this earth clothed with light today? His lights went out, didn't they? They went out with Adam. Are we born again today? No. Well, what happens to us today then? Adam looked like God. He's called the Son of God. If you go to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, he's not the Apostle to the Gentiles, he's of the Gentiles, because he was a Jew and a Gentile both. In Romans chapter 9, he says, verse 1, I say the truth of Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Saul of Tarsus, is who he was known as, first of all, was one wicked dude. He says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? Well, what did he just describe in chapter 8? I thought the Jew and the Gentile alike as members of the body of Christ were adopted as sons of God. Here he's saying Israel's adopted. How are they adopted? That new birth, being born again. Now they're born of the Spirit. Well, how are we adopted as sons of God? And why? You remember what we have drawn out here? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then on the fourth day, he creates the heavens, and then we have the earth. What did we say about Genesis chapter 3 through Acts till Acts chapter 9? All that deals with prophecy, the kingdom, and the fulfillment of it, and the offering of it. But Israel rejected it. It came from Genesis chapter 3, we worked to Genesis chapter 12. That's the calling out of Abraham. If we'd say this is Genesis chapter 1, and put the cross right about here, well, let's put the cross over here, we could go halfway in between there. And that was the calling out of Abraham. God was going to make of him a great nation. 430 years later, they come across the Red Sea. He says, if you'll do everything I tell you, you're going to be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what everybody's trying to be today. That's what denominations tell you. You're not going to be a kingdom of priests. You're not going to be a holy nation. Is this nation holy? Has it ever been? Will it be? Why not? We're not living in that age. We're not Jewish people. But from Romans to Philemon, we find that we are, turn back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That doesn't say that God put his Spirit within us and caused us to walk in his statutes, does it? Well, what's the difference? They have the same responsibility Israel did. What did Adam look like here? He was clothed with light. What are they going to be like when they get over to the new earth? They're going to be clothed with light, even during the kingdom period. Why is it that a Gentile is going to want to hang on to the garment of a Jew? They know that he's like who? God. Why? He'd been born again. Are we going to look like that? No. You want to know what we're going to look like? We're going to look like the glory of God. What's the glory of God look like? Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel, better get in the right direction here. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel, it gives all the major prophets in the Old Testament will give you the date when they were written. It'll give you the time. It'll give you the person's name. And it'll give you what they've seen. And almost all of them will have seen something in a vision, a dream, or something like that. When we get down to verse 26, Ezekiel is a unique individual. In chapter 2, verse 1, he's called Son of Man. Notice it does not say the Son of Man. It says that 100 times in Ezekiel, always referring to Ezekiel. But when you find that little word, and there again, look at every word and how every word ends, the Son of Man, who's it referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ, every time. Now, he sees these living creatures. In verse 26, and a firmament that was, a firmament is an expanse, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it, seated on it. Well, who would that have been? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. What was that? What does fire put out? Well, heat, but also what? Light. This was the Lord Jesus Christ that he saw. Now, look at verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What does the Apostle Paul say we are in Ephesians chapter 1? We're the glory of God. You know, we quoted 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. What's that next word? Throughly furnished. It's not thoroughly, because thoroughly is on the outside. Throughly is when that word goes through us. What happens when you bend light? It looks like a rainbow, doesn't it? When the light shines on a raindrop, light's over here and the rain's over there, what do you see? A rainbow. Why? It bent that light. What's going to go through us for eternity? The Word of God. And it's going to be seen as a great light, a great rainbow. But it's going to be different than a rainbow because it goes around this way, not this way. This past winter, I saw on the news where they had set up 16 new telescopes, what they look at the stars with and so forth, down in Chile. Your tax dollars at work. But they took pictures of what they saw out there in space. You remember in Jude verse 6, the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation. They didn't all leave their first estate, did they? And their habitation. In that picture, they showed a huge area of blackness. But over here on the right-hand side was the prettiest perfect circle like a rainbow you've ever seen. Why were those angels placed in the heavens to start with? They proclaimed what? The Word of God. Guess what you and I are going to do? We're going to fill that void and we're going to proclaim the Word of God to what? All of creation. Not just on this earth, but all of creation. God has made us this bunch of knotheads that didn't want to keep God in their mind, His glory. What more could you ask for? Are you born again? Are you going to be here on this earth? No, we're in the heavens, proclaiming the full Word of God. Because we believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for us. That's all He asked. Do you believe it? I'll take care of everything else. I've already done it. And I'll finish it if you will believe. And all through the book of Romans, well, all of from Romans through Philemon, you'll see that. And only there. And we find that we're the glory of God. And we're not born again, but we're a new creation in Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. You need the verse for this. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's the old things going to be that's gone? That's the old nature. All those things with it. But we must realize that we make the choice because we've still got two natures. Those that are born of God cannot sin because that old nature is taken out of them. Sorry, ours isn't. We have a tendency to want to resurrect a thing. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? What does that mean? What does it mean to be bewitched? That means to bring to life something that's already been put to death. What did Christ say? It is finished on the cross. What was finished? The law. We're not under that law anymore. We're under God's grace. And we should be very thankful for that, because if we were under the law, we wouldn't be any better off than the Jews were. Are we born again? No. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us, for the answers that are there, for the truth that we have right at our fingertips, that we can study it out ourselves. We thank you for our salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize that there's not so much as one drop of blood in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until the end, and that's considered a murder. But until we find from Romans to Philemon, the answer for what took place there is ours. We pray that we might each one realize this and see it, and thank you more for it in our Savior's name. Amen.